Okay, thank you for turning up for this session. Today we're going to be talking about creating Windows Phone 8 apps for SharePoint. So before I start, I just wanted to get a feel for the room. How many of you guys are existing Windows Phone 8 developers? A few. How many of you guys are SharePoint developers? Okay, yeah, it's the same. So I did a session in North America. We had about the same kind of mix. So anyone not either SharePoint or Windows Phone just intrigued by this session? Okay, a few. So my background with this session was I've been a SharePoint developer for probably 8-9 years now, for my sins. And I was asked to present this session. So the way I'm presenting this session is essentially it's my experience of learning Windows Phone development and some of the trials and tribulations of getting involved. I will say that as a development experience, at the company I work for, AvePoint, we build for Windows Phone, we build for Android, and we build for iPhone. And I personally have found the Windows Phone experience a lot easier to develop with having a Microsoft background. You're in the same IDE as you would normally be as a Microsoft developer, but you're just writing for a phone device as opposed to writing for a web development experience or Windows 8 experience. So today, I think the strongest thing that I can kind of raise is that you guys have all got these tokens now where you can go and buy a Surface RT or a Surface Pro. And how many of you in the room have Windows phones right now? Wow, okay, there's a lot of you. Okay, so it's like kind of 50% in the room. So you all know that when you log into a Windows phone and you log in with your Microsoft account, that anything you're already doing on your Windows 8 device is going to get pulled through. So your music, your accounts, your SkyDrive, and those types of things. So from an experience as an end user, as a consumer, or even from a business user in an organization, that experience crosses over in whatever device you have. My laptop here, my Surface Pro I have, and the Windows phone I have, it has that crossover, so it follows me no matter what I'm doing and remembers exactly what I'm up to. So I really like that aspect of it kind of being that experience across those multiple devices. It also means that if I'm in Office, and especially if you're using Office 2013, if I view a document, if I edit a PowerPoint deck, if I go into my mail, if I'm in OneNote, and then I jump to my phone, that experience is remembered. So if I view a document in Word on my laptop and I jump over to my Windows phone, it's remembering that experience for me. So from a productivity perspective, I really like that story, and it's very, very easy to push this within your organization. Now, out of interest in the room, the organizations you work for, how many of you guys have mandated that Windows Phone will be the direction from a mobile perspective strategy-wise? Okay, it's about the same as North America a little bit. There was like 5 or 6 people with a hand up. What we're finding with the customers I speak to in the enterprise is where they're choosing between a Windows phone and an Android and an iPhone and the CrackBerry is that the Windows phone is the easy answer because you're already doing strategies around deployment around Windows 8. You're already doing strategies around Office 365 and SharePoint or maybe on-premises, you're not kind of committed to the cloud yet. And so that kind of buy-in there is very, very important. So being able to produce apps on these phones as well as apps on a Windows 8 device and apps inside SharePoint and Office is easier to do within that IDE because it's the same interface that you code in for every single one. And there's a lot of code reuse between those. And obviously there's a lot of things you can do out of the box in terms of the apps that get developed and a lot of things you can leverage there, and hopefully I'll show you that today. It also means from a management perspective, if I'm using things like System Center and Windows Intune, that I can start to control my devices in ways that I can't do with other platforms that your organization might have. So today, I'm going to talk about the experiences that I had in learning Windows Phone development as a SharePoint developer. I'm going to talk about some of the basics, what you need to get started, some of the downloads you need to do, and then I'm going to do some demonstrations around some of the bits around push notifications and the geolocation. So I'm sure you've seen these slides if you've been in the SharePoint sessions, but what I wanted to do is Microsoft kind of push us to use these slides in our decks. I wanted to give my spin on this. As a SharePoint developer, I've found an experience that as I've progressed through SharePoint 2003, SharePoint 2007, 2010, 2013, there's different experiences that you get as a developer, and there's different levels of people understanding how you should really truly be developing against SharePoint. Microsoft did some research with a survey, and they found that globally there was over 700,000 SharePoint developers that were working with full trust solutions, so the traditional SharePoint 2007 or SharePoint 2010 model. Now, what that means is, excuse me, in terms of the overall developers that are here at TechEd, we're here at TechEd North America, or over in San Francisco at Build getting free devices, we have to pay for ours, is that essentially there are a lot of people focusing on customizing SharePoint. In my eyes, SharePoint is a platform. It's something that provides document management, it's something that provides a portal, it's something that provides social and business intelligence and search. There's a lot of features that SharePoint provides. But at the end of the day, when you talk to your customers, you're probably going to have to bend SharePoint in some way. You're going to have to twist it and bend it, whether it's, I don't want it to look like SharePoint, I need this to look like my brand, or whether it's, well, actually we have some special requirements for our document management system, or I don't like the way the search works, can we tweak it? You're going to have to customize it. So there's been a lot of SharePoint developers make a lot of money over the past, because normal developers, don't particularly like working with SharePoint because of the intuitiveness of the app model, solution model. The majority of developers out there, the cool kids in town that are all in San Francisco right now, are used to writing in HTML5, CSS. They're used to Ruby on Rails. They're used to working in a much more agile, iterative environment than what traditionally a SharePoint developer has had to do in the past. And we're used to writing code that runs within the same execution model inside SharePoint, as opposed to an ASP.NET developer that might be running in the cloud in Azure and using on the new core .NET 4.5 framework models that, as a SharePoint developer, we wouldn't be able to leverage. So the new app model that they introduced with 2013, it's really allowed us to, as a SharePoint developer, mature into a new model. So with the app model now, I can deploy code, and if you've been in any of the app sessions in the last week, deploy code that runs on any platform. I'm not writing code that runs and executes in the SharePoint model anymore. It can execute in Azure, it can execute on premises in IIS, it can be on an Apache server, I can write in Ruby, PHP, J2EE, .NET, any of those languages I can write against, which gives me that flexibility as a developer that I didn't necessarily have in SharePoint 2010 or SharePoint 2007. So as a SharePoint developer now, there's a little bit of fear there in the sense that I could go and reach out to a normal .NET developer or a normal web developer and build SharePoint applications. And so the model is evolving a little bit. And what I would recommend if you are a SharePoint developer out there currently writing full trust solutions or sandbox solutions, have a look at the app model. There's been sessions this week. And also have a look at really, really getting on board with the HTML5 and JavaScript bandwagon. The main reason I say that is because the evolution is going that way. Microsoft are pushing very, very hard on the app model right now. Sandbox solutions are deprecated inside SharePoint 2013. Deprecated, what does that mean? Well, in history of Microsoft, if something is deprecated, usually in the next major release, it'll be either unsupported completely or it won't get any love and attention at all. So it'll be a dying product. It won't get any focus, there won't be any new tooling, there won't be any new methods or APIs that are available. So you really need to start focusing on that app model. So if you're building full trust solutions right now for your on-premises environments, you should really start considering how you could build that as an app model solution as opposed to a solution package solution. With the app model, it also means from an application lifecycle management perspective, I can start doing unit testing, integration testing, web testing. I can really get more focused as a real development process that was very, very hard to do in a SharePoint model because it was extremely hard to mock out what you were doing from a calling perspective back into SharePoint. It has evolved. SharePoint started off where all of your code had to run on the SharePoint server and essentially rendered a page within your web browser. With SharePoint 2010, they essentially introduced the sandbox solutions, which meant that I could run some code on my box in Office 365 as well as on-premise, but it was monitored. So for the developers out there that didn't quite understand how to use the SharePoint API, the server-side API, if you wrote bad code that impacted a SharePoint server, and for any SharePoint guys out there, you've often heard customers go, SharePoint is slow. Well, actually, if you do a next install of SharePoint, it's pretty quick. But as soon as you start doing customizations, it can start really bringing down the performance of SharePoint. So the Sandbox Solutions was there to monitor the resources of SharePoint and try and reduce what was going on in terms of that bad code. They also introduced the client-side object model. So there was APIs that I could use where I, from my Windows phone, or from any phone, or from any application external to SharePoint, I could call into SharePoint and start talking to SharePoint with the authentication model in a much easier way. The problem with 2010 from a client-side object model was the APIs were pretty limited. So as a vendor at AvePoint, when we started looking at the client-side object model, we found there was a lot of things that we did within our products. The APIs weren't available, whether it was the AuthSignature API, or there was particular things where if we wanted to write a document to a document library and have the creation date stamped in a certain way, you couldn't do that with the client-side object model like you could with the server-side object model. In 2013, with the client-side object model, they significantly improved the breadth of the commands that you could do within SharePoint. They introduced the user profiles, the BCS, search, and the managed metadata service buses, essentially where you could call in and do things with those APIs. The reason they did that, the reason they improved the service of the APIs, the client-side object model, is when they introduced the SharePoint app model in SharePoint, there is no managed code. So you have to use the client-side object model. You can't use the server-side object model with SharePoint. So they had to improve that breadth of what you could do with the SharePoint client-side object model. And what this means as a Windows Phone developer is I have that access to the search, the user profiles, the BCS, and the managed metadata from that perspective. And to be honest, as a vendor now, looking and calling those APIs, there's still a few gaps that exist in the client-side object model where you have to use the server-side object model, but it has got significantly better from that perspective. Now, Microsoft traditionally, and I'm sure if there's any Microsoft guys in the room, they might shoot me, traditionally don't do well at talking together. You know, you have the Windows 8 team, you have the Windows Phone team, you have the Office team, you have the SharePoint team. They don't traditionally all sit in the room and go, well, we're building this, and I hope you guys can integrate with this. But I'll give credit to the Windows Phone team in the sense that when they built this tooling for SharePoint, they did a really good job of making it very, very easy for me as a SharePoint developer to jump into the Windows Phone development and get really, really deep in Windows Phone and SharePoint development quickly. So credit where credit is due, this is one example where it's good. Just for giggles, a bad example is if you have a Surface device and you go to the Mail app, the Windows team built the Mail app without really necessarily talking to the Office team who already had the Outlook product. And although now there's an Outlook IT product coming, again, you can see that sometimes Microsoft done a great job, but you know, as I say, Windows Phone have done a very, very good job of making this experience good. There's two types of apps with Windows Phone development. We have the List app, which I'll demonstrate in a moment, which allows me essentially to go in there, create a new project, create an app, point it to a SharePoint list, and immediately get that on my phone and be able to do things like create new items in that list or edit items in that list or delete items in that list. The other app is more of a general blank playset where I can go in there and code and start using the client-side object model, and it provides all the hooks and provisions, all the DLLs I need to get started with SharePoint. From a perspective of mobile apps, as well as that List app, some of the things I'm going to show you today is this concept of a push notification and a location aspect. So in SharePoint 2013, we introduced this concept of geolocation, where when I add a document to a document library, I can actually add the geolocation address, longitude and latitude of that document into my list. The nice thing with the Windows Phone is if I add that geolocation, when I go into the phone and look at that document, I can actually click on the pointer in my phone and see that location from that perspective. So there's a lot of integration that you would expect from a phone that's very, very easy to jump into. Now, I asked this question earlier, but essentially for this session, there's two types of people that this is targeted for. There's the SharePoint developer. And when I say SharePoint developer, there's a few different types of developer I'm talking about. You are genuinely a developer, even if you're developing solutions out of the box with SharePoint purely in the browser. I can build a site, I can go in and configure lists and libraries, I can change the site settings, I can go in if I have SharePoint Designer and start configuring workflows and connect to external line of business systems with business connectivity services. Or I can be a full-fledged developer where I'm inside Visual Studio building either full trust solutions, sandbox solutions, or SharePoint apps. Those types of developers have different levels of experience and come from different walks of life. I find personally that, out of interest, that when they come from the walk of life as SharePoint Designer or Web UI, traditionally they're not developers. They haven't come through a formal process of computer science degrees or information management degrees and learning the formality of application lifecycle management. They're very much, I've downloaded the SharePoint for Dummies book, I've learned how to code in SharePoint and I deploy my solution. There's also that walk of life of ASP.NET developers that come through and they've learned the formalities and then they kind of learn how to develop in SharePoint even though they've been developing in ASP.NET for a long time, which is where my background comes from. And typically they'll be building lists, libraries, content types, web parts, workflows, event receivers. You know, that's the typical thing we do day in, day out when we're building SharePoint environments. As a phone developer, my walk of life is a little bit different. I live within Visual Studio. I've had to learn Blend. I've had to learn XAML. I'm either C# or I'm VB.NET. And essentially, today what I'm going to do is try and blend those two together and show that experience of those two walks of life working together to produce a business solution. Now, what they did when they introduced SharePoint 2013 and Windows Phone 8 was really try and make as transparent as possible that I can connect up to my SharePoint 2013 on-premises or my SharePoint in Office 365 very, very easily. As a developer, I don't have to worry about thousands of lines of code to authenticate into SharePoint when I connect up with my phone app, whether it's a list app or whether it's a custom Silverlight app. We also handle things like the gateway access and the alternate access mappings inside that as well. And you'll see that in those solutions when I start walking through the code. So to get started with SharePoint development, obviously, traditionally, SharePoint developers had to go through a lot of hurdles. I have a bad back. I have to carry with me an enormous laptop with 32 gigs of RAM. I have dual SSDs in my machine. Because I'm running SharePoint, SQL, Active Directory. I'm running a dev workstation with Windows with Visual Studio on it just to run and get up to speed with SharePoint development because I'm building full trust solutions. The reason of that is because SharePoint has been a COM object for a long, long time. Even though it's a .NET framework where I use and I add references to Microsoft.SharePoint.dll, what is actually happening under the hood is it's calling that COM object. So when I'm building my solutions, I have to have Visual Studio locally installed on the machine that's running SharePoint. And SharePoint is a beast. With the new app model, I don't have to be running Visual Studio on a machine that has SharePoint. I can run Visual Studio on a machine that's just Windows 8 or Windows 7, and I can deploy my apps directly to Office 365 without that cumbersome load of having SharePoint installed. So the demonstrations I do today will actually be to the cloud. So I have sacrificed my demo gods and prayed that these demos will work inside Office 365 today. The internet seems to be pretty reliable, which is good. And all you need is Visual Studio 2010 or 2012. You need the SharePoint 2013 Client Components SDK, and you need the Office 2013 DevTools for Visual Studio 2012. Once you have those things installed, and you've watched a few episodes of Mad Men, because it takes about 3 hours to install those things and download them, you'll be able to develop apps within SharePoint. Now, that support is with Windows 8. One thing you cannot install with Windows Phone Kit, you can't install that on a Windows server. And I'll get to that in a moment. So I can either install it in Windows like I've got here, or you can still have a virtual environment where I could be maybe using Windows Server 2008 R2 or Windows 2012, and you know, install SQL and install SharePoint and run it locally. If you don't want to use Office 365. So there are two options. But I'm finding more and more now that it's very, very easy to have a developer tenant of Office 365 and be building apps. If you're building full trust solutions and sandbox solutions still, and if you were in my session yesterday, I talked about why you might still be doing that, then you would still need a local virtual machine. From a phone development perspective, this is where it gets a little bit tricky as a SharePoint developer. The tooling only is supported by Windows 7 and Windows 8. I essentially need a Windows Phone 7.1 or 8 SDK installed on my machine. And there's a separate SharePoint SDK for Windows Phone. And this will give me the ability, when I show you in a minute, to do things like file new project and pick the SharePoint Windows Phone apps. If you don't have that installed, it won't show up in Visual Studio for you. So as a SharePoint developer, the big problem with this is that if I typically do full trust solutions and sandbox solutions and I'm on a Windows server environment because SharePoint won't install on Windows 8, I can't do Windows Phone development in that operating system. So I have to be running on a Windows 8 development environment. So if you're essentially going to have two development environments in that process. And unfortunately, how many Visual Basic developers do we have in the room? One, okay. You can't do Visual Basic development with this environment. So I'm sorry, but you're going to have to learn C#. VB is an interesting beast. In North America, out of interest, there was 10 people that put their hands up in their environment. So obviously Europe is a little bit more C# based. So as a SharePoint dev, we either do browser development, we either do SharePoint design and development, or we're doing a Visual Studio development where we're building apps, full trust solutions, and sandbox solutions. From a phone experience, what we're really focusing on is either creating a list app or we're creating a full-blown app, and I'll go into that in a little bit more detail. Now, as a SharePoint developer, we're not used to this. We're not used to this concept of a model view model pattern. In SharePoint, we kind of do add new web part, and we start building our web part, and our business logic, our data logic, and our presentation logic is mungled into one file. With phone development and with traditional ASP.NET MVC development and Windows 8 development, we can start separating our presentation layer to our business layer to our data layer. And that's something that I find that SharePoint developers are just so used to it all being in one place. When I deploy a web part in SharePoint, my code is deciding how my web part looks. My code is deploying how I'm grabbing my data from my SharePoint list and library, and how I'm doing the business logic on that data. And it's also deciding how I'm creating that list and library. So there's a little bit of like kind of separation that as a SharePoint developer we might not be used to. And that's something that Windows Phone forces on you when you create that project. And I'll show you that in a moment when I start creating these net new products. There are some default out-of-the-box files that these projects create, and this is really for reference only. I'll go through this in the demo. So let me just jump straight in here. So as I say, the install experience does take a little bit of a time to kind of go through and and create or install all those SDKs and different bits and pieces. But once you're up and running, you're good to go. So if I come in here and I go new project, should come up okay. We come in again, it is only Visual C# that you're able to do this. And you come into the Windows Phone thing and you scroll down to the lowly bottom and you'll see that there's two SharePoint project types here that we can create. So if I go into the SharePoint list project type there and click OK, it's going to ask me for a URL of the list. Now, I did try and settle this up beforehand. What I'm going to show you is, in my SharePoint site here, I actually have an app which is in the store for you guys free. And just to give some experience here, as a vendor, when we started building these apps, we wanted to make sure we had a phone experience in there. And essentially, we wanted to build a phone experience for the apps we were deploying to SharePoint. And we started discussing, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to, you know, what type of effort's going to be involved in having the ability that if I'm in a meeting and I create an action for a meeting, that I can actually see that on my phone. So the idea of this app is that it replaces the meeting workspaces. And we built this with the my SharePoint developers. They have experience with ASP.NET, MVC, and HTML and JavaScript. And the idea is I can come in here and create new agendas. I can create new actions. So you can see in here I could, you know, talk about my meetings app, and I could say that, you know, I research Windows Phone development, and I can assign the action to myself. And what that's actually doing under the hood in this experience with this app is creating that within, if I look inside my SharePoint app, is that action is actually being created within my SharePoint list and library. So if I went to actions for my meeting, this list is where that app created that action. Now, there's a lot of junk data in here because this is my development environment, but if I scroll down here, all of my actions are in here just like a normal list or list item within a library. And when I was talking to my dev team, I was like, look, I really want the experience to move outside of SharePoint. I want my users inside SharePoint creating their meetings and adding their actions and adding their decisions and notes. But I also want that phone experience so that when they're on the road, those actions are available to them when they're mobile. So I asked my devs, you know, go away, have a look, research this. And they came back and they went, this is surprisingly easy. And I'll show you how easy this is. Essentially, if I come in here and grab that URL for that list where all my actions are being created, and I paste that URL in here and go find lists. Thank you, SharePoint. It's going to ask me to log in, and you're going to see this login box a few times today. No. All right, let me try that again. Hoping that that's not. Okay. Phew. The demo gods are okay right now. So you can see here, I can pick what list. So my actions that my app is creating, all my tasks for my meetings, is there. So I can pick that list. And what I can do in the next part of the wizard is choose what views I want in my list. So for this example, I'm actually going to click all of them just to show you the experience that you get. And I can choose what I want my app to be able to do, whether I want it to be able to create new actions, whether I want to edit new actions, you know, display them and delete them. So I'm going to click all of those again just to show you how what this kind of facilitates. I can pick the fields. So maybe I don't want all these fields. In this instance, I'm going to pick everything, but I will show you a secondary app where I've tweaked it a little bit. And I click finish. That's going to go away now and create my Windows Phone project. And you see it's doing a lot of plumbing. It's adding all the references. It's probably written about 1,000 lines of code of XAML and C# that you don't have to worry about. It's done it for you. So you can tell your boss, sweet, look, this took me like 2 weeks to write. Look how cool this is. I can click F5 on my keyboard, and that will now debug this. It will fire up my Windows Phone emulator, And it will run that app, and it will point to that SharePoint server. Apparently it will. Unless I have a demo running, which means I need to turn that off. So hang on just 2 seconds. Which one was it? Sorry, I was testing all my demos before I came, so... Okay. So if I click F5... That'll actually run up my phone emulator, and it will connect over to my Office 365 environment. Now, in a development environment, what that will do is it will prompt you for auth. So here's a little tip, and this took me a little while to find on Bing. A little while to work out that to type in the URLs here inside here, it pops up the keyboard. But if I push function P on my keyboard, I can actually use my laptop keyboard rather than with the mouse and clicking through the Windows Phone keyboard. That one was definitely a little bit painful. The next thing that I will show you is that no, I don't want to show you my password, but if I look here, you'll see that as I type, you have to kind of click in the fields. You could actually see my password as I type. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to move over to this side so you can't see it as I type my password, because this is actually my production Office 365 environment. So there you go. And this is recorded, so people could do it in slow motion and see what's going on. So you'll see there that I've done a next wizard there, and that's pulled through all of those actions, which is pretty cool, right? I mean, that was a next wizard. I have everything in SharePoint on my Windows Phone. Try doing that on an iPhone or an Android in a 3-minute demo. That's not going to happen. I can scroll through. It feels just like my phone. I can see that says make sure Windows Phone development, and you can see all the details there that are involved in that. So the Visual Studio team, the Windows Phone team, have done a great job in making this really, really easy. And my developers are like, this is sweet, because I can please Jeremy and say we have a Windows Phone app for my meetings application that we deployed into the store, because there wasn't very much of a tweak we had to do to get that working. And they can come in here if they go edit on the bottom, and I can change the priority. So it's doing a lot of field type stuff. I can change the status, and I can click save. So immediately you have this ability to provide a very quick app for either document libraries, for task lists, for Canada libraries, straight to your phone, deploy it to either your corporate store or sideload it directly onto all your employees' devices. So hopefully you can see the benefit here that you get in the speed of getting these apps on these phones that you wouldn't necessarily have if you were building for an iPhone or for Android. So that's just a quick example of that. Now if I... I shouldn't have stopped the emulator. There's a tip. That's a good example of me doing a bad thing. If I just stop the development, the debugging in the Visual Studio, the emulator still runs, and it means that if I'm in another Visual Studio project, it pushes the app up to the emulator. So what I did, I shouldn't have just done, and it's just told me that it's aborted. Thank you. Seems a little bit extreme. So what I've done as well is, in credit where credit is due, a friend of mine, Chris Johnson, who used to work on the product group, he's built some really cool apps for Windows Phone. If you use TripIt, he built an app called My Trips, to the point where I use My Trips so much that I call TripIt My Trips. And when I go to the web browser and type in My Trips, nothing comes up. I'm like, that's right, the actual product is called TripIt. But he built an app around Windows Phone that. So if you haven't looked at that app, please check that out. He gave me some help. As I say, I'm not a Windows Phone dev. It was XAML is very, very new to me. It's a big jump to start looking at XML in a way that I'm used to writing ASP.NET or JavaScript. That's all I'll say. So he gave me a hand here, and while that's running, while it's starting, as it's telling you right there, I'll just walk you through. This app here, what it essentially builds is an app.xaml page and a main page. If I double click on the main page, I have the ability to come in here and in the toolbox drag and drop different controls onto this console. or I can come in and have a look at the XAML itself. Now, inside here, if I just move that over a little bit, inside here, when I'm looking at the XAML, there isn't much inside this actual the guts of this page. It's essentially a you can see here there's an image control and a text box control. Why is that not starting? I'm just going to restart that one. While that's restarting, and then if I jump on the app.xaml, essentially all that's doing is jumping over to that page. But if you look, what it, under the covers is adding all those references that you need to be able to jump into the SharePoint DLLs and the .NET DLLs as well. Now, let's just make sure. I'm just going to shut down my Visual Studio environments because that shouldn't be doing that. Okay, I'm going to jump back to my slide deck quickly and hopefully that will come back to life in a moment because that could cause some problems. I'll get back to those demos in a moment in terms of what that's actually doing. Essentially, as well as being able to create the list app, the other scenario that is very, very cool is the main reason you have a mobile device is you want to be notified of certain things, right? So on the go, I can grab my SharePoint documents, I can grab my task lists. I can also be notified of things. So I can be pinged from a business process perspective that something's happened. Now, right out of the box with Windows Phone or any phone, to be honest, a lot of business processes are done via email. And I get notified on my phone when I get a new email. But what if you wanted to notify people that a particular business process had been approved or that your expenses have been approved, which means you're going to get paid at the end of the month for all the travel that you do? A lot of organizations now are getting to this point where they want to push notifications to your device, whether it be a Windows Phone device, whether it be a Windows 8 device, to let you know of those business processes that are happening. The SharePoint team have done a really good job of talking to the Windows team and making it extremely easy for me to have an event happen in SharePoint that pushes a notification to either Windows 8 or to Windows Phone. Now, the way it does that with Office 365 is it uses this PNS server where essentially the app spins up, it gets the URL notification, it sends it to the SharePoint server, so my unique identifier for my phone device, it sends it to that SharePoint server and it goes, I want to be notified of anything that happens in this site. I'm registering, I'm subscribing to say, let me know when something happens in this SharePoint site. And then if an event occurs inside SharePoint, there's some areas you can kind of target it because obviously you might not want everything in that site to be pinged to that particular user. And you can push that notification to that device. Again, this is Windows Phone or Windows 8. Now, this can either be via a toast notification, so I'm not talking about bread here. I'm talking about the little thing that pops up inside your Windows device. Oh, that's lucky. Okay, it came back up, that's good. It can be a toast notification, it can be a tile notification. What I mean by a tile notification is if I just show that emulator right now, if I go back to my home screen, these things obviously rotate with different areas. I can actually push an update directly to that tile. So if I have an app that says, you know, your expenses are approved, on my home screen or my Windows phone, I can adapt it so to push that notification directly to the tile of that phone. So again, this is really, really easy to do from that perspective. Or there is a whole interface where I can do what they call raw notifications and target particular custom messages directly into my application. Now, from a configuration perspective, with Office 365, this just works. So all my demos I'm doing on Office 365. With an on-premises environment, there's a few hoops to get through. There's a few kind of, you know, you have to rub your tummy and pat your head and make sure you do things in the right order, otherwise SharePoint will just fall over and break. But once you have it up and running, it works. So if you need that information, there's a good Technic article that explains how you can get those push notifications working. To get it registered, the push notification method is actually hanging off of the SP web object for you, SharePoint developers in the room. And all you need to do is provide a few different parameters to actually say that my device is going to be subscribed to this SP web. Now, the only thing I've found, we actually at AvePoint use this internally, is that if you have a lot of sites where you want to have push notifications, obviously you need to do some crazy coding to iterate through and register on all those webs to make sure you get those notifications. So this is a web-by-web aspect. It's not something that is farm-wide. So just pay that as a consideration there. And essentially what happens is with the toast notification example, as you can see on this screen, is it will jump up right into the context of the screen, and you can provide whatever you like. So the XML that's used is pretty easy. You can essentially put your title in the text one, your message in the text two, and there's some parameters you can force through as well. So you're able to do that extremely easily. You write your XML, push that into the client-side object model, which we'll show you in a moment, and that's how it will look on your Windows phone. So we actually do use this internally to push through to our Windows phone stuff. So very, very glad here that my emulator came back to life, because otherwise my demos would be terrible in this session. So every time I do an F5, essentially it's deploying my app into my emulator. So if I do F5 on lots of different Visual Studio projects, it's deploying, pushing those things through. Now, if I just jump through my code for this, because I closed it down. What I'm actually doing here is I'm leveraging the camera event within Windows Phone. Now, again, not a Windows Phone developer, so I was like, wow, I wonder how hard it's going to be to produce this scenario. I was actually very surprised to realize how easy it is to do this. So that's a little bit small, so let me just... open up my trusty Zoomit. So all I'm doing here, you'll see there, is there's a camera capture task. And you can see that I still have the demo coded in Foo in there. So this is straight from MSDN, just to show you how easy this is. And what that will do is it'll force my Windows Phone app to jump into the camera mode. It'll give my user the ability to take the photo, and then you hook up this Foo Complete event. And when that Foo Complete event happens, when it takes the photo, it'll fire off that method. I will provide all this SAML code as well, so you guys can see this as well. So I'm using my AvePoint US Office 365 tenant. I'm going to save this photo that I've taken directly into my shared documents library. And in the Foo Complete method, what you'll essentially see there is that the e.chosenPhoto is the object, that's the image that's taken by the camera. I'm going to save that as create a bitmap image and save that into image one, which is the image that's shown in the app, in the container in the app. But the really, really cool part is that I can spin up this client context. So for anyone that's doing SharePoint development right now, I essentially spin up my SharePoint client context and pass in my web URL. So that's the URL to spin up my Office 365 environment. And then the really, really, really great bit is that the Windows Phone team and SharePoint team did was that this new authenticator handles all my authentication for me. So if my phone is all hooked up and it's authenticated already, I won't even get prompted for my authentication details. If I'm not authenticating to Office 365, it handles my authentication for me. I don't have to write 50,000 lines of code to handle sign-in. This thing just works with one line of code, which is very, very cool. Then I'm doing is getting that list, my picture library list, which is my document library. I'm doing a standard get all the items in that list. And if I scroll over a little bit, essentially, all I'm doing is spinning up a new file based on that photo that I've captured. I'm grabbing the URL where I want to store that file, and I'm going to upload that file directly into SharePoint. So not very many lines of code here, and what this will do when you see it in the demo is, again, I'm a developer, I'm not a designer. I do have a UX team for our products, trust me. I click that button, that fires up that camera event, right? So the emulator does this really cool thing that kind of looks like Pac-Man gone wrong. If I click and hold on that screen, it's the equivalent of taking a photo. And then if I clicked accept here, that's taken that photo. This is where the authentication tricks in, and it jumps because it knows I'm trying to save this file inside SharePoint. So again, it's going to jump for my credentials. So I need to come in here and type those in again. And if I do the function P, it gets rid of the on-screen keyboard and allows me to use my normal keyboard, because you watching me click on keyboard buttons on the screen is going to be boring. I do need to click into that field again and do a function P to get in. And again, you're not seeing my password. And I click sign in. In the background, now that's taking that bitmap image, it's uploading it via the client-side object model directly into SharePoint. If you don't believe that happened, again, I don't have a success message or anything. It's just a proof of concept here. If I come into my AvePoint US environment, and I go to site contents, and I go to my documents, you'll see that now image has been uploaded directly into SharePoint. So with a few lines of code, I've actually created an environment here where, as an example, I could do my expense tracking directly into SharePoint. So we all have expenses. You're all traveling this week. I'm sure you've all bought dinners and maybe a few thevethas. And you want to take the photos of the receipts and submit them somewhere. This app allows you to take the photo of the receipt, upload it in SharePoint. I could then go on to maybe trigger a workflow where that receipt gets approved and notify me of that thing. So again, I'm showing you that the story here of integrating SharePoint, Windows Phone, and Windows 8 is very, very easy from that perspective. And it's in a development environment that you guys are familiar with as either SharePoint developers or Windows Phone developers. Now, what I've also done, if I just stop this one, is from a push notification perspective, as well as uploading those images, you can also do the subscriber aspect to it as well. So let me just zoom in on here. Where essentially I can grab this SharePoint site, and you have, for the push notifications to work, you do need to activate a feature within the site which isn't activated by default inside the Office 365 team sites. So that horrible GUID there is the feature that you require. And all I'm doing here is I'm essentially just cheating. I'm adding some announcements to a list, and I'm binding that directly into my Windows Phone app. And then from this perspective here, with this push notification, I'm asking to find out who has subscribed, who has said they are interested in knowing about notifications to this entire site. And then I can do some criteria. Once I have this collection of subscribers, I can ask, okay, well, based on these people subscribing, maybe I don't want to send it to them because they might not be interested in every single activity that happens within this site. So if I scroll down a little bit here, you'll see that then what I do is I'm essentially saying that I'm creating this message, this push notification message, with the title and the actual message itself. And all I'm doing is for every subscriber, in this instance I'm sending it to everyone, no one gets a choice here, I'm going to flame everyone on their phone. For every subscriber in that collection, I'm pushing this notification to them. I'm pushing it by the subscriber in that collection with that message, with that title, and I'm saying it's immediate. And you can schedule them as well. So again, it's very, very easy from a code perspective to do this. And you'll notice that the push notification aspect here, if I hover over and go into this method, it's essentially building that XML that I showed you in that slide. So we're parsing in a particular way that raw XML to build out that the phone understands and then obviously renders at the screen. Now, to demo this, I'm just going to click F5, and I think I did stop the other demo. So again, if you've seen me do this a few times today. So how many people went to the app sessions this week for SharePoint, just out of interest? How many people are building apps? Start looking, guys, seriously. You're going to be out of jobs in 3 years if you don't, just saying. The essential bit is when I deploy an app to SharePoint, as a user, I have to choose to trust it. So you'll see here, this app's actually pretty scary. This app's asking for full control of the entire site collection. That's not normal for a SharePoint app, but in this environment, because it's a demo, that's what I'm doing. So I'm going to trust that. Of course I'm going to trust it. It has a really cool app icon. It must be safe. You guys are a tough crowd today. And what that's going to do then is push that notification through. And what I should see on my device is if I start the emulator, what I have to do here is I have to subscribe to that site. So if I come in here and type in my URL of my site and click validate, again, I'll send this code for you guys and I'll walk through the code in a moment as well. Again, I have to type in my credentials. You thought I'd forget to do that, didn't you? Once that's validated, you can see there that I can activate that push notification. So now the push notifications are on in that SharePoint site. I can ask on a toggle to be notified to tell me that I want to be told when those list items change. And it's told me that it's successfully registered. And I click OK. Now, if I go into my site now, and refresh. Oh no. What that should show, and this wasn't happening right before I started this session, is the list of those subscribers. So when I click subscribe in my phone, I should get a list of all those users through. And Office 365 is not doing me well this morning. And then the idea being, and we'll talk you through what it does, is essentially inside here, I have an event receiver. So there's an event receiver in SharePoint. Well, there's been one since 2007. In 2013, we have this concept of a remote event receiver. So I have the ability that when an item gets or a document gets added to a SharePoint list, it triggers an event, much like a SQL trigger. In SharePoint 2007 and 2010, the only way that could execute the code was inside the SharePoint worker process. With SharePoint 2013, when an event happens, it calls a service. So inside this code here, you'll actually see that I'm actually calling the receipts_change_receiver.svc. So when SharePoint, when an event happens in a SharePoint list in SharePoint, what that's actually doing, if I go to the web within this project and open up the SVC aspect is it's running this code. And you'll see that it's spinning up a context for that site. It's grabbing a list of all the subscribers that are subscribed to this site. It's building that toast message based on the event that's happened, whether it's there's been an item added to this list or an item updated. And then I'm pushing that notification through. And then obviously that would show up on the screen as a toast. I do apologize, I don't know why that demo isn't working right now. But the idea being is that that allows me that if I'm adding content to pages, I can notify my organization. Now, what we do internally with our Windows Phone users is we have an intranet. And on the homepage of our intranet, we have corporate announcements. Now, traditionally in our company, we used to do corporate announcements via email. I'm a big hater of email. I don't think email is very productive at all, and we all have way too many, and I'm sure you guys are all checking your emails as you're going at the event today. But a lot of it's noise. But some of it's very, very important. And if you have the ability to push a notification to your phone to say maybe that there's an event that's happened within your organization without necessarily going in someone's inbox, you can notify them a lot quicker. So this capability internally, we actually have a corporate announcements list where it'll actually notify Windows Phone users when those announcements happen. So again, we have that ability to do that very, very easily with a few lines of code and an event receiver hooked up to the list where my marketing team add those announcements inside SharePoint. From a location perspective, the other thing that we can do is I can integrate with the GPS aspect of my phone. So in SharePoint 2013, there's a new list item type, a site column type, which is geolocation. So I've worked in, you can probably tell, maybe not tell, from my accent. I'm originally from London. I lived in Australia for 8 years, and now I'm in New York, New Jersey. When I was in Australia, I work with a lot of mining companies because basically in Australia all they do is dig up all the earth and sell it to the rest of the world. And one of the most important things that those companies wanted to do was have the ability to have documents and specifications of all the equipment across the mine. And these mine sites are enormous. So when an engineer walked up to a piece of machinery and went, okay, this is this machine here, and he turned on his device, he wanted to be able to go into the document management system, which was SharePoint, and basically it would know that it would the location, and it would list all the documents relevant to that location. And it would go, okay, well, this is that machine, okay, click, and then it would get the entire specs for that machinery. And that speed, that really sped up the way the engineers could find the documents relative to wherever they were on this enormous mine site that they had in Australia. Now, we built that as a custom solution about 5 years ago. It's now actually out of the box in SharePoint. So as a SharePoint developer used this, right? Customers go, well, we really like SharePoint, but we just needed to do this. And you end up building it and charging a lot of money for it. And then SharePoint releases out of the box in 3 years' time. But this is a good example of one that's very, very used within that resource industry. It's used across the board in a lot of industries as well. The really cool part is that from my Windows Phone device, say, for instance, I took a photo of that receipt, I could actually capture the GPS of where I am when I took that photo. And then I could submit that GPS recording directly into the list item of that list when I save that photo and do all sorts of things. So for instance, the example that I use is because I'm in Spain and I take that photo, rather than me have to fill out the currency of my receipt when I'm logging the receipt details, it could automatically know because I'm in Spain that it's going to be in pesos. I mean, euros. Okay, I've got a little bit of a life. You guys must have been out late last night. And so that kind of thing is really, really cool. On the flip side, if I look at that SharePoint list or library and I click on that document item, I can actually click on the indicator and it will show me on the map where that document's from. So again, we have this concept of integrating my GPS coordinates installed in SharePoint into my phone experience and also into my Windows 8 experience as well. Give Windows 8 some love. Has everyone downloaded Windows 8.1 yet? One person, really? Are you kidding me? You guys are techies. The internet connection here is great. Okay, few more laughs, good. So the way that you do this is you need to add this field, and you can either do it through the UI, so you can go in and new site column, add column, geolocation, or I can use manage code here to add the field as XML, and it's called the geolocation field. For a change, they actually name the field type something obvious rather than something really obscure. excuse me. And then you just update that list. And then from here, if I want to actually publish something from my phone into the SharePoint API, I essentially grab my SharePoint context, either by client side or server side, and I can just add my Bing Max key. So you have a unique key when you sign up for Bing Maps, and that will allow me to use the geolocation directly within that site when I add a document, or whether it's my phone or web browser or Windows 8. And I have a code sample, but I'm short of time, I have a code sample where you can go through and see that exact thing happening. So hopefully today what I've showed you is, as a SharePoint developer or as a Windows Phone developer, it's very easy to get started and start building apps. So all I would say is the thing I've done internally is really impressed my management team by building these things very, very quickly and pushing them out and connecting up to data you already have within SharePoint very, very quickly. Now, I know internally within Microsoft now, they have hundreds of apps they're deploying to different field staff depending on their roles that connect up to different areas of SharePoint, and they're mobilizing what they would usually do within a web browser directly within their Windows phone. So I'd encourage you guys to think about how you could do this internally within your organization, how you can think about your business solutions and enabling them to happen on your phone as opposed to happening directly within your web browser or on a larger device such as a slate or a laptop. Because we all have our phones on us. I guarantee that every single one of you has a phone in your pocket right now. Hopefully it's on silent. Shame on you for the ones that had it on noise earlier on. I won't point you out, but you probably won't win the phone. So hopefully I've helped you to understand that. There were some very other good sessions. So if you are a SharePoint dev and you haven't attended the Windows Phone sessions, don't worry. All these phone sessions were actually recorded. So you can actually go back and check out those sessions. There were some really good ones on explaining from a user experience perspective how you should be building your apps. So my app that I demoed would have failed because I just called the button. If you want to submit anything to the store, there are very, very strict validation and guidelines. Those sessions, they link off to all the guidance on the right ways to do Windows experience, ways of building your apps and user experience on that perspective. They should really stick with Metro because it was very cool. Please bear in mind that user experience and make it consistent. That would be my only advice. XAML does kind of force you down that route anyway of thinking in that look and feel, but your users all get it. They're starting to feel more comfortable now with Windows Phone. They're used to the swiping left and right and seeing the tiles and the way things work. So please, please, please have a look at those sessions. And then the other things... we are running close to being the end of TechEd, but how many of you guys have been to the hands-on labs? Not many. I've been coming to TechEd now for a long time. I used to go to TechEd Australia when I was in Australia, which is a little bit smaller. It's kind of cute. It's the cute TechEd. These things are enormous and obnoxious. But what I would say is, if you do get time today, go down to the hands-on labs and just do one. Go and follow one lab. Find something that you've never done before and sit there with the hands-on labs and follow it all the way through. There's guys that can sit there and help you if you get stuck. It's a really great way of learning a new bit of technology on the Microsoft stack that you can take back when you go back to the office. I'd really encourage you to check out those hands-on labs. I've found it very, very useful. Go and say hello to the friendly guys in the Windows Phones booth, or ignore them and just play with their devices like I did. There's some cool new phones coming out. And there are some theater sessions, and I've seen some of your friendly faces, those theater sessions, because our AvePoint booth is right next to it. But please check out some of those sessions. They're presenting stuff outside of the normal tracks. And also from the perspective of, go to Windows Phone /business, and you can see kind of the marketing stuff around why Windows Phone is that great. Wow, there's a lot of slides here. And again, all of the sessions, including this one, will be on Channel 9 if you really feel like hearing my wonderful accent again in the future. And obviously MSDN and blah, blah, blah. This is the most important slide in the entire deck. Everyone get your phones out, please. You're not leaving until you do this. I'm serious. Phones out now. Seriously? One phone out, two phones out. Take a picture of this beautiful QR code, and you have to rate this session. The reason I ask you guys to do this is, as a presenter, if there's presenters in the room, it does take us a lot of time to kind of learn this stuff. Now, for me, this was a great experience because I got to learn how to build Windows Phone apps, and hopefully you've understood some of the value here of what you can do with SharePoint. But it would be really great if you could just take a photo of that and rate this session, positive or negative. I love the feedback. Microsoft loves hearing the feedback as well. So please do that now and then show your appreciation for our efforts in doing this. If you do have any questions, I will field questions now. And if there's questions afterwards, please let me know. If you could hand your receipts, I'm speaking Spanish and French and German and English right now, to this guy here. He's looking very sharp in his suit too. So if you hand him your card filled in, you are up for winning a Nokia Lumia 820, which is actually better than the one they gave away in North America. So you guys are lucky. This is actually a really good device. So please make sure you hand it to this guy. Who in the room has a Windows phone? I don't know, I asked this earlier on. I'm really impressed with that. That's awesome. That's like 50% of the room. Well, you could get a new shiny one. Or give it to your significant other who probably has an iPhone or an Android right now and make them convert over to a Windows phone. Did anyone have any questions? No? Oh, yeah, sorry. Good question. So the question was, how much of the HTML WinJS transfers over to Windows Phone? Unfortunately, my experience has been that everything is very XAML orientated with the phone, in the sense that it's all C sharp and XAML. So with Windows 8, you can either go native with XAML or you can go HTML5 JavaScript. With Windows Phone, you really are kind of trapped with the XML side. And personally, I found that jump a little bit tricky to learn from the aspect of especially the layout. Getting the layout exactly how I like is coming from... I've been a web developer for 10 years. Putting on the XAML hat is a little bit hard. But I will say there were some sessions this week that showed me how easy it is to get that layout very, very... described how you want it to be. So I would definitely check out Channel 9. Yeah. Any other questions? You guys all just want the phone. This is what this is about, isn't it? It's okay. I'll go cry in the corner somewhere. Okay. Sorry, fella?
Your hand? Your innocent hand?
You want me to pick a winner?
Yeah.
Oh, Jeremy Thake. Oh, that's great. Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of the conference. Philip Geens. Oh, look at that. Well, that was an easy one. Congratulations. So I expect you to be writing SharePoint phone apps for that by the end of today. Please come and show me, and I'll rate you between 1 and 5. That'd be great. Thank you for attending this session. Hopefully you got something out of it. Enjoy the rest of the conference as well.